This message comes from NPR sponsor Homes.com. When you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Homes.com has got you covered with a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today on State of the World, separate media realities for Israelis and Palestinians. Thanks for listening to State of the World from NPR. We bring you the day's most vital international stories up close where they're happening. It's Monday, May 6th. I'm Greg Dixon. Ceasefire negotiations between Israel and Hamas are ongoing. At the same time, Israel struck targets in a part of Gaza currently housing over a million civilians. The future of this war continues to be uncertain. What is clear is that many Israelis and Palestinians are receiving this news and all information about this conflict in distinct media environments. Critics say Israeli media doesn't cover the extent of the suffering in Gaza. On the other side, Palestinian outlets are accused of downplaying the violence committed in the October 7th attacks. Further deepening this divide, Israel recently banned the news channel Al Jazeera from its airwaves and online in the country. They claim the channel, which is based in Qatar, threatens national security. NPR's Kerry Khan talked with news consumers and journalists on both sides of the ongoing war, and she brings us this report.
At a convenience store in Tel Aviv's working-class Hatikva neighborhood, a group of men are filling out lottery tickets, smoking cigarettes, and occasionally glancing up at the TV playing the evening news. Shachaf Simantov, a 20-year-old driver for a food delivery app, says he gets almost all his news from TV.
What happened in my country, I see. What I need to see, I see. Hamas, Gaza, fake news.
He doesn't believe people are going hungry in Gaza or the high Palestinian death toll, more than 34,000, according to the health ministry, which Israelis emphasize is run by Hamas. The TV is set to Channel 14, which was launched 10 years ago and is now Israel's number two station. With its steady stream of conservative and favorable coverage of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, it's been dubbed Israel's Fox News. Alon Harazi is 44 years old. He works for a moving company. He says he likes Channel 14 stories about Israel's military, which he says motivates young people to join the army. Most Israeli TV coverage focuses on soldier profiles and Hamas's brutal attack on Israel on October 7th that killed about 1,200 people, according to Israel. There are also frequent updates on the more than 100 hostages still held in Gaza and their relatives' agonizing wait for their release. However, Ruti Poltil, a 63-year-old retiree, says she seldom sees what's happening to the people of Gaza on Israeli TV. She watches TikTok. It breaks my heart to see their destroyed hospitals, all the children without fathers, mothers crying, she says. Across the street at a small hair salon, 33-year-old Shlomi Racamino is getting his weekly trim. Channel 14 is also on the TV above his chair. He says he has no need to watch anything else.
We don't need to see anyone in Gaza. We need to erase them all.
Almost half of Israelis over the age of 20 watch TV news. And almost a fifth say they'll only watch Channel 14, says Tehilia Schwartz-Altschuler, a media expert at the Israel Democracy Institute.
Just like what happens in America these days, our media is very, very polarized.
And just like in other countries, she says Israeli media budgets have been slashed as advertisers shift to social media. At the same time, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu continues his campaign against critical media. He's facing criminal charges for allegedly giving favors to media tycoons to get better coverage. He denies any wrongdoing. Israelis are getting their news in a bubble, says Schwartz-Altschuler.
And this creates crazy blind spots for the Israeli public, as well as a gap between the world's understanding of what is happening in the territories or in Gaza and the Israeli public's understanding.
Israelis view themselves as victims after October 7th and don't understand why the world sees them as the aggressors in this fight, says Meron Rapoport, an Israeli journalist. And they were stunned when accused of genocide in the International Court of Justice, he adds.
The Israeli public deserves that at least it will get a wider picture of what's going on.
Rapoport, who works at the independent news site 972, says Israelis are being fed a steady diet of patriotism and victimhood. In the control room of Watan television in Ramallah in the occupied West Bank, a man directs a nightly call-in show. Palestinian media faces scrutiny too, like reporters calling Hamas militants resistance fighters. General Director Mo'ammar al-Rabi says Watan tries to cover both sides fairly.
All of us, we saw what's happening in the 7th of October when Hamas attacked, but today they're killing everything in Gaza. This is our children, our fathers, our mothers, so we need to highlight the suffering.
Watan's offices in Gaza were destroyed in an Israeli airstrike. At least 97 journalists have been killed in Gaza since October 7th, according to the Committee to Protect Journalists. Ramallah resident and avid news consumer, 38-year-old Mohammed Qassam Ali, says Palestinians know all they need to know about October 7th. He gets most of his news from Telegram and Al Jazeera, the Qatari-based news channel. We cannot forget which side is responsible for October 7th, he says. The international community and Israel has trapped Gaza for decades, leaving little hope, he adds. He doesn't believe what is on Israeli media. A recent poll by the Palestinian Center for Policy and Survey showed that 90% of Palestinians do not believe Hamas committed atrocities on October 7th. As Palestinian media continues to report what they view as an extreme and intolerable man-made humanitarian crisis, Israeli media presses its coverage of what it reflects as a just and existential fight for security and survival. Outside Tel Aviv in the makeup room at Channel 13 studios, Raviv Drucker, one of Israel's best-known investigative journalists, gets last-minute hairstyling. His weeknight news show is about to go live.
I need to go in.
Have a good show. He, too, criticizes Israeli media for not showing what is happening to Gaza's population. But he says journalists are people, too, and like society, they're traumatized by Hamas's vicious attack.
It's really easy to ask them to be, to aspire to the highest standards, but it's very difficult to implement.
He recently put an image of a Palestinian baby with blood on his face on his show and was criticized as being too provocative by panelists. Israel's public doesn't want to see that side of the story, he says, and most of Israeli journalism doesn't want to show it. Carrie Kahn, NPR News, Tel Aviv.
That's the State of the World from NPR. For more coverage of all sides of this conflict, go to npr.org/Mideast Updates. Thanks for listening.
All that sitting and swiping, your body is adapting to your technology. Learn how and what you can do about it.
I really felt like the cloud in my brain kind of dissipated. Once I started realizing what a difference these little breaks were making, there's no turning back for me.
Take NPR's Body Electric Challenge. Listen to the series wherever you get your podcasts.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Mint Mobile. From the gas pump to the grocery store, inflation is everywhere. So Mint Mobile is offering premium wireless starting at just $15 a month. To get your new phone plan for just $15, go to mintmobile.com/switch. This message comes from NPR sponsor Shopify, the global commerce platform that helps you sell and show up exactly the way you want to. Customize your online store to your style. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/NPR.